Chapter 5. Back to Barton. Before leaving London, Eleanor visited her brother and Fanny. John was interested to hear of Colonel Brandon's job offer to Edward. John took her aside and said,
I want to tell you one more thing. Although Mrs. Ferrars did not approve of Edward's attachment to you, she would have preferred he marry you than Lucy Steele. Of course, it's too late now.
Suddenly, Robert Ferrars entered. She had only met the younger Ferrars brother once and found him to be a thoughtless and self-important young man. This meeting increased her dislike for him. He talked happily of how he would receive Edward's inheritance and laughed at the idea of Edward being a poor minister who lived in a cottage.
I said to my mother,
he said,
Dear madam, if Edward marries this young woman, I shall never see him again. If I'd known of this country girl earlier, I would have tried to persuade him to break it off.
Eleanor was glad she couldn't stay long and hoped she would never see Robert Ferrars again. The trip to Cleveland, the Palmers' home in Somerset, took 2 days. When they arrived, Marianne felt worse than usual. They were only 30 miles away from Willoughby's country house. She planned to spend her time taking lonely walks and delighting in her misery. Colonel Brandon was also a guest of the Palmers. He spent a great deal of time talking to Eleanor about the repairs he would make to the minister's cottage at Delaford before Edward took up residence there. He talked to her so much that she began to wonder if John Dashwood had been right about the Colonel's interest in her. But she still got the feeling that when Colonel Brandon spoke to her, he wished he was talking to Marianne. After 2 evenings of walking in the thick, wet grass, Marianne came down with a terrible cold. She felt feverish with soreness all over her body. She refused all medicine, insisting that all she needed was a good night's rest. But by the next day, she was very sick. Eleanor sent for the doctor, who said she suffered from an infection and would recover in a few days. After several days, Marianne's condition remained the same. The doctor came every day. Eleanor was hopeful and in letters to her mother didn't mention the seriousness of Marianne's illness. That evening, as Eleanor sat beside her sister's bed, Marianne sat up suddenly and cried wildly.
Is Mama coming?
Not yet, Eleanor replied, hiding her fear and helping Marianne lie down again.
Please tell her to come soon,
Marianne cried desperately.
Or I shall never see her again.
Eleanor was so alarmed that she sent for the doctor immediately. Colonel Brandon drove through the night to Barton to fetch Mrs. Dashwood. When the doctor came, he admitted that the medicines had failed. The infection was stronger than ever. Eleanor hoped her mother would arrive in time to say goodbye to her dying sister. But by midday, signs of Marianne's fever were going down. Eleanor began to hope that Marianne would survive. On the doctor's next visit, he congratulated her on Marianne's slow recovery. That night, Eleanor slept peacefully, knowing her sister was out of danger. Around 8 o'clock, Eleanor heard a carriage drive up to the front door. She rushed downstairs to meet her mother. But in the sitting room, she found Willoughby. Fearful, she stepped backward.
Miss Dashwood, I have something to tell you,
begged Willoughby. Eleanor agreed reluctantly. Hurry, I have no spare time.
First of all, is your sister out of danger?
We hope so, Eleanor replied frigidly.
Thank God. I heard she was ill. I want to offer an explanation for my actions. I have not always been a scoundrel. I beg your sister's forgiveness.
Marianne has already forgiven you.
Really?
He cried eagerly.
Still, I'll explain. When I first met her, my only intention was to pass my time in Devonshire pleasantly. My debts are great. I was planning to marry a woman of fortune. But I soon found myself falling in love with Marianne. By the time I'd prepared myself to ask for her hand in marriage, my relative, old Mrs. Smith, discovered my scandalous connection.
He blushed and turned away.
but you've probably heard that story from Colonel Brandon.
I have, said Eleanor, who was also blushing. Willoughby continued.
Mrs. Smith was very angry with me, and I suffered. She cut off my money and refused to see me again. I knew that if I married Marianne, I would be poor. So I came to Barton Cottage to say goodbye. I was miserable when I saw her sorrow and disappointment.
There was a short silence, and Eleanor softened toward him.
Marianne's notes to me were like knives in my heart. She was far dearer to me than Miss Gray, whom I was engaged to.
Remember that you are a married man now, said Eleanor. Willoughby laughed wildly.
Married, yes. Miss Gray saw Marianne's last letter and was jealous and angry. As punishment, she made me write that terrible letter to Marianne.
You have made your choice, Eleanor replied coldly. Respect your wife.
My wife doesn't deserve your pity. I have no chance of happiness with her. If I'm ever free again.
Eleanor stopped him with a frown.
I'll leave now,
he said.
But I'll live in terror of one event. Your sister's marriage.
She can never be more lost to you than she is now, said Eleanor.
But she will be gained by someone else.
With that, Willoughby ran away. A half hour later, the girl's mother entered the house, half dead with fear. Eleanor gave her the good news. Mrs. Dashwood cried tears of relief. Colonel Brandon shared their relief with his profound silence. Marianne's recovery continued daily. Mrs. Dashwood soon found an opportunity to tell Eleanor other news. On the long drive from Barton, Colonel Brandon told Mrs. Dashwood he could no longer hide his feelings for Marianne. He would ask for her hand in marriage. Mrs. Dashwood, convinced of his excellent character, hoped that in time, Marianne would accept his offer. Marianne recovered quickly and returned to Barton in a week. On the ride home in Colonel Brandon's carriage, Eleanor saw that Marianne was now able to control her feelings. Eleanor was pleased to see her becoming enthusiastic again. A few days later, Marianne confessed to Eleanor.
I behaved badly. I was too free with Willoughby and so impolite to other people. I was terrible to you, dear Eleanor. You were suffering, too. I thought only of my own broken heart.
Eleanor took a deep breath and told Marianne everything Willoughby said to her. Marianne said nothing. Tears ran down her face. That evening, Marianne told her mother and sister.
What Eleanor told me was a great relief. I could have never been happy with him, knowing what he did.
Happy with a scoundrel like that? Cried her mother. Not my Marianne.
You're considering the matter like a sensible person, said Eleanor.
How foolish I was,
cried Marianne.
It's all my fault, said Mrs. Dashwood. I should have smelled his intentions earlier.
Life at Barton became normal again. Eleanor waited for news of Edward. It arrived unexpectedly from Mrs. Dashwood's manservant, Thomas. He returned with the report that Mr. Ferrars was married. Marianne took one look at Eleanor's pale face and burst into sobs. Mrs. Dashwood didn't know which daughter to comfort first. She led Marianne to another room and hurried back to Eleanor, who had begun questioning Thomas. Who told you this, Thomas?
I saw him myself, with the former Miss Steele. She called to me from a carriage and asked about Marianne's health. Then she smiled and said her name had changed since she was last in Devonshire.
Was Mr. Ferrars in the carriage with her?
Yes, madam. He was next to her. But I didn't see his face.
Did Mrs. Ferrars look happy? Asked Eleanor.
Yes, madam. Very happy indeed.
Thomas was sent away while Eleanor and her mother sat in silence. Mrs. Dashwood felt sad for her. A few days later, a carriage rode up to the front door. Eleanor thought it was Colonel Brandon, but it was Edward. I must remain calm, she said to herself. He entered looking pale and nervous. Mrs. Dashwood greeted him kindly and congratulated him. He blushed and mumbled. An awful silence came over the room. Mrs. Dashwood ended it by telling him she hoped Mrs. Ferrars was well. "Is Mrs. Ferrars in Delaford?" Eleanor bravely asked.
"Delaford?"
he said with surprise.
"My mother is in London."
"I meant your new wife," Eleanor said. Edward hesitated.
"Perhaps you mean my brother's new wife."
"Your brother's new wife?" Marianne and her mother repeated together with astonishment. Eleanor couldn't speak.
"Yes,"
Edward said.
"My brother is now married to Miss Lucy Steele."
Eleanor ran out of the room and burst into tears of happiness. Edward watched her run away and followed her. The ladies were astonished. When they all sat down for tea, Edward asked for Mrs. Dashwood's permission to marry Eleanor. She said yes. He was the happiest man alive.
"My foolish engagement would not have happened if my mother had let me choose my own profession. I imagined myself in love. When I met you, Eleanor, I realized how wrong it was."
Everyone was delighted. He explained that his brother had visited Lucy, trying to persuade her to break off the engagement with his brother. Lucy realized that Robert, rather than Edward, would inherit his mother's fortune. Since they were both of a similarly selfish character, they became attracted to one another and got married with speed and secrecy. Edward's mother was horrified, but eventually accepted it. She wasn't happy about Edward's engagement to Eleanor either, but she gave them £10,000. The money would allow Edward and Eleanor to marry very soon and move into the minister's cottage at Delaford. They were the happiest couple in the world. Moving to Delaford did not separate Eleanor from her sister. By the time Marianne was 19, with feelings of warm friendship and respect, she agreed to marry Colonel Brandon, a man she had once considered dull and too old. Colonel Brandon was as happy now as everybody else. In time, Marianne came to love him as much as she had loved Willoughby. Mrs. Dashwood kept living at Barton Cottage. As soon as Margaret grew old enough for dancing and parties, she visited Sir John and Mrs. Jennings. Barton and Delaford were connected and filled with strong family affection. Eleanor and Marianne lived very happily with their husbands and were very close to each other. As the years passed, the sisters became ever closer.